Hello and welcome to another episode of Full Court Finance here at Zacks. I'm your host, Ben Rains. In this week, we have, once again, a big sports betting update episode because things are happening pretty quickly. I think most people assumed it would happen with some pace, but I think it's going a little faster than even I could have anticipated. But before we get into that, I just want to say, if you ever have any questions or episode suggestions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com because we always appreciate any feedback from listeners whatsoever. And we're going to jump right into it now. So last week, the NBA announced, and I'm a big NBA fan, and I love what they're doing. So this was great news for me that they announced that they landed an official partnership with a casino. So roughly three months after the Supreme Court struck down PASPA, you already have the second biggest league in North America partnering officially with MGM Resorts. The deal is between the NBA and the WNBA. And MGM Resorts, they'll be the official gaming partner of those two leagues. Reports put the deal at a somewhat modest 3 years, $25 million. I listened to the press conference with Adam Silver and MGM's CEO, and Silver, he basically just said it's a short deal for now so we can kind of see where we're going in the next 3 years. Because as most of you probably know at this point, it's not legal throughout the United States. It's only legal now in three states total. So they don't want to have some massive $100 million deal when it's really not that big yet. So this is kind of a test run. But nonetheless, it's a huge deal. And I think it's going to really exemplify what you're going to see going forward. So, yeah, the NBA is now the first official North American sports league to partner with a sportsbook operator. And Silver, who's the commissioner of the NBA, as I said, has been one of the biggest proponents of legalized sports betting in the United States for the last couple of years. So it's not a big surprise that the NBA is the first league to really jump on this in a big official way. And then I want to paraphrase a little bit of what Silver said, some of his more PR-y type comments, but they make sense. So those operators who create the best experience for customers that have official data, that have official logos and highlights are going to be the ones that win the hearts and minds of consumers. And that was from a press conference last week that he did with Jim Murren. I don't want to butcher that, but I believe it's Murren. He's the CEO of MGM. And then he said, and I'm paraphrasing again as well, that the foremost mission is to maintain and preserve integrity. That's a word you're going to hear a lot. The integrity of the game and fan experience for the NBA, and help catapult further the global presence of the NBA as a global entertainment company. They feel, meaning MGM feels, that they are the best partner to expand sports betting with the league. So it's a huge deal. And there's a little bit on its face, it might seem obvious why they're doing it with MGM, big, huge gaming company. But there's also a little history between the NBA and MGM CEO. He is the owner of the WNBA's Las Vegas Aces. So he owns a WNBA team. Plus, MGM is the NBA's partner for their widely popular Summer League, which is rookies or second-year players or guys trying to make the NBA play in games during the summer in Vegas. And then Team USA Basketball also hosts a lot of their summer training in preparation to big tournaments such as the Olympics in the summer. So Vegas has become kind of a big basketball hub, so it makes sense. And then also you have to realize that what's happening where you have the Oakland Raiders moving to Vegas soon, and you just had the Golden Knights, the first NHL franchise, start in Vegas this past season. The NBA most likely is going to have a team in Vegas within the next 5 years. Where the T-Mobile Arena, where the Golden Knights play of the NHL, is set up to host both NBA and NHL games. They set up the locker rooms to be like that. They set up their arenas, stadium seating to be like that. So I can pretty much guarantee within the next 5 years, there will be an NBA team in Vegas. I really don't see why it's not going. that way, especially since you have this betting partnership between MGM and the NBA. Now I want to talk a little bit about what the deal includes and what it means going forward. So right now, this short three-year deal includes, as of the moment, that MGM gets to use team names, official league logos, and highlights, which doesn't necessarily sound all that cool. It might draw some attention. So they'll be able to use these logos on odds boards at sportsbooks, something that they have not been able to currently do in Vegas, even though you are legally allowed to bet on NBA games. So that's kind of a PR-y move and might move the needle a little bit. But the real thing going on and why the NBA and MGM partnered is for the NBA's data. So MGM Resorts will be able to use the official NBA league data, which obviously it's not that much different than any data they would already be using, but it's quicker. And the idea is that the faster and more reliable the data you're getting will propel users to want to use your gaming sports betting platform, because the biggest thing that people want to bet on now is live in-game betting. So you're going to have better odds for these in-game bets and quicker betting options and just more options when you have this official, insanely accurate and insanely fast data directly from the NBA. So that is what the biggest part of the deal is, and that is why MGM wants to be a part of it. And that's also why the NBA wants to partner with all these different companies, is to provide their data, because that's what these companies want and that's what they're going to be willing to pay a premium for going forward, especially as more and more states legalize sports betting and then online and mobile gambling specifically. And then what hasn't been talked about as much in what I've read so far about this deal between MGM and the NBA is what the league partners and other people who have a vested interest in the NBA are going to say about this. Clearly, Adam Silver and the league have spoken to their TV partners, which the two biggest TV partners are Disney, because there's games on ESPN and ABC, and Turner, which parent company is Time Warner, whose parent company is now AT&T. So those two companies are paying a combined $24 billion over a 9-year deal to broadcast the NBA. So you'll see how, if this impacts them going forward, and if this, when this deal is up and they're negotiating for the next deal, maybe they even get a better deal because sports betting has become more popular in the NBA with this MGM deal and things that could be like that going forward. And then what I'm actually looking forward to, and I think a lot of NBA fans and sports fans in general might be excited to see, is how or if this sports betting partnership pushes the NBA to address some of the issues that fans have had, and especially people who don't like the NBA have had with the league, and that is the idea of resting healthy players just because the NBA has now become rest obsessed in this 82-game season. So you'll see a lot of guys that are completely healthy be rested on, say, the second night of a back-to-back, or just it's become a big deal where on a Saturday night marquee game on ABC, the Spurs rest three of their best players. And when you have the sports betting partnership, maybe that gets addressed more quickly than just ESPN and TNT complaining about the marquee matchups being watered down without the big name players playing. And then it also just, it could either attract or repel some of the league sponsors. So some of the biggest sponsors of the league are American Express, Anheuser-Busch, Kia, State Farm, PepsiCo. I doubt anyone's going to run away from the NBA because they signed a $25 million deal with MGM. I think it's going to attract more companies in the long run. And then you could also see, maybe going forward, as sports betting becomes more accepted and legalized, betting company sponsors on jerseys, because this past season was the first time that the league allowed jersey sponsorship patches on teams' jerseys. They're small little logos. They're noticeable, but they're certainly not detracting in any way, because it was Nike's first season as the NBA's official jersey partner. So you can see that going forward. And I think in the long run, you'll see the NFL, the NHL, Major League Baseball all do some type of similar deal with some casino or gaming company, because they're just not going to want to pass up on the monetary aspects of this, because why would they? If people are betting on it, they want to be involved. And then this also comes up, one of the last things, and Silver addressed this in his press conference as well, is what the NBA is going to do with their supposed or so-called integrity fee, which is the idea that the NBA and Major League Baseball and some other entities want to get a cut of all the bets being placed on their sport. It makes sense. I don't know how reasonable it is or what the percentage will be. The number that's been tossed around is around 1%, but I've also seen numbers that say as low as 0.25%. That seems more reasonable, especially since the betting margins are actually relatively low when you really think about it. And then just for some context, basketball is the second most popular sport to bet on in the United States behind football. Football still king for both watching and obviously betting, and they go hand in hand. That's why you have a lot of people watching random games of teams they don't care about at 12 o'clock on a Saturday night because they're betting on it. But so in Nevada alone, in 2017, sportsbooks took $1.5 billion on basketball bets. And that includes college basketball, but the couple different places I read, it seemed like it was split more 60-40 in favor of the NBA, just simply because there's more games in a much longer season. So yeah, there's obviously a lot going on with the NBA, but there was also a lot of other big sports betting news last week. So at this point, Nevada was, until just recently, the only state that offered legal mobile sports betting, even though you had Delaware and New Jersey offering sports betting as well. But then at this same press conference with the NBA, MGM's CEO mentioned that they had a rough plan to start offering mobile sports betting at the Borgata Casino in Atlantic City. So we'll see how that pans out. And then also last week, MGM partnered with London-listed GVC Holdings PLC and announced a 50-50 joint venture to create, and I quote, a world-class sports betting and online gaming platform in the United States. So each of these companies is putting down $100 million, and they're going to slowly roll out online sports betting throughout the United States as it becomes legal on a state-by-state, case-by-case basis. So things are happening relatively slowly, but at the same time, it's very quick, because this past week, you also had Mississippi start taking their first legal sports bets this past Wednesday, and they became the first state outside of Nevada to allow bets on in-state colleges. So it sounds simple enough, but in New Jersey, they're not going to let you bet on in-state schools for reasons. I would assume that the proximity to players, that you could maybe influence the game. I don't know. I assume that is the reason, but it's a big deal in Mississippi because Mississippi does not have any professional teams, but they do have two SEC powerhouses, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. It's an SEC hotbed. College football is king in the South, so that is a big, big deal, and that's clearly why Mississippi pushed to have this, because those are the two biggest teams in the state of Mississippi. Nothing else comes close. And so, yeah, Mississippi joins Delaware and New Jersey as the first three states outside of Nevada to legalize sports betting. And this is after the May strike down of PASPA. And then as well, this past week, you had DraftKings roll out their DraftKings Sportsbook app in New Jersey. At this point, it's invite only, and it's in a somewhat of a beta testing stage, even though you can actually make the bets, but interested customers in New Jersey can register on the company's website, and then you can get this sports betting app. And this is the sports betting apps, the online betting is what where all the money is going to be. That's where 80% of the bets are coming from, and that's what all of these states are going to want, and that's certainly what all of the gaming companies are going to want as well. And then this also comes after you had DraftKings rival FanDuel a couple weeks ago merge in partner with Irish bookmaker Paddy Power Betfair PLC to open a sports book at the Meadowlands Racetrack in New Jersey, which is right across the street from where the Giants and the Jets play. So that the NFL season's kicking off soon, so that's something that you'll probably see an online betting app push for that. So you could have fans sitting at the Giants game or the Jets game, most likely making bets on those games or on other NFL games at some point during this NFL season. And then I want to close with a little bit of a synopsis of a Wall Street Journal video I watched that was breaking down sports betting in the UK during the World Cup, because I see this as emblematic of exactly what's going to happen when sports betting becomes as widely popular and widely accepted as it is in the UK. So the video was only 3 minutes long. You can look it up online if you want. But it's breaking down just one day of betting in the UK between it was the game England versus Colombia. William Hill, which is a big gaming company based in the UK, they had 400 different bets you could make just on England and Colombia, which seems crazy for soccer, since the scores are often very low, but you can bet on pretty much every single player to who's going to score. You can bet on every single player, how many red cards, how many yellow cards, how many corner kicks, how many throw-ins, when the goals are going to be scored, if there's going to be a goal scored before this minute of the game, if it's going to go to penalty kicks, just anything you could possibly imagine you could bet on. Like I said, 400 different bets for a soccer game. And that's what you're going to have going forward in these online betting platforms in the US as well. So here, let me look at this real fast. And then what's also really interesting, and I didn't even know this existed, that fans could tweet or use social media to proposition William Hill for a bet they wanted to make. If it wasn't on William Hill's betting website, they could proposition their own bet, saying, "I think player X and player Y are both going to score in the second half," and then William Hill responds, giving you odds in. You can make the bet. That's just crazy. So you can have fans who don't see a bet they want to make out of these 400 different options, and then you can proposition the company, and then they'll give you odds. I mean, it really is crazy, and it's crazy that it's all just via their phone. So they were showing this one bar where all of these people are watching England versus Colombia, just drinking beers and betting on their phones. And then what's also interesting, you'll hear, and this is a point of concern for a lot of people, is that these sports betting apps, and the William Hill one specifically, is linked directly to your bank account, which is pretty mind-blowing and scary for a lot of people. So the company says they do have measures in place, so you can only place what they call sensible bets. So I'm sure it has something to do with how much money you have in your account. You can't just decide to bet my whole bank account on player X to score in the second half of the England game. I mean, I don't know if that's true. I don't know exactly how it works, but they didn't go into any more details besides sensible bets, because that is something that could be very scary if you have your bank account linked to a sports betting app and say you've had a little bit too many, and then you just start betting all the money that you have in your bank account. That could be very, very scary. But yeah, so in this one game, England versus Colombia, William Hill took about 8 $1 million worth of bets for just that one game, and they expected to pull in just William Hill $1.6 billion on World Cup bets alone, which is really just, it's just crazy. And they started doing this live in-game betting about a decade ago in the UK. And that's, as I've said now way too many times, is where all of the money is going to be coming going forward, and what all of the companies and the casinos in the leagues are going to be pushing for, because it just generates more interest. As sports become less and less popular to watch on TV, you want, and these leagues want, as many reasons as possible to keep fans engaged, whether it's at the stadium or at home, and this live in-game betting is where all the money is going to be coming from. And then I want to just close with some ballpark figures of how much the illegal sports betting market is. And the American Gaming Association says it's about $150 billion a year in the United States alone, with some high side estimates at $400 billion of illegal betting on sports games. And that is also why, so as of now, the online betting and in-game betting is a little bit harder to achieve. But what all of these companies in these states are going to say is that you're not going to curb this illegal gambling unless you legalize the live in-game betting, because that's what people want to bet on. They want this. Is LeBron going to miss this next free throw? Is he going to score 20 points in the second half? Is this team going to miss this kick like right now? That's what they want. And if they don't offer that, people are going to continue to bet illegally as they've been doing for decades and decades in the United States. But I could talk about this for forever, and it's just worth paying attention to for any investors. There's so many companies that are involved in this, and there's so many possibilities going forward. But that does it for another episode of Full Court Finance. Until next time, I'm your host, Ben Raines. And remember, if you have any questions, please feel free to shoot us an email over at podcast@zacks.com.